Good morning, Smashville, and thank you for joining us. Braden Gall here with Derek Mason, live from Kitchen Notes, of course, at the Nashville Omni Hotel. Great biscuits, great food, great oldies. No Nick Cale, no Chase Constable McUrban. Check out the Twitter's account there for to understand exactly what we're talking about when we say Chase McUrban. It will give you a laugh, I promise you. So check out the pictures there. Of course, we've got Terry Criss coming up. Stick to sports this hour. But Teron Davenport joining us here on Morning Drive. And it's funny, Teron, we were talking last segment. I love it when D-Mace and I are, you know, talking about a topic. And can Malcolm Butler cover Eric Ebron? Is it going to be Jayon Brown? Is it going to be Kevin Byard? And we're having this big debate about it. And what does that do for the rest of the defense? And does it give away the zone versus man coverage for Andrew Luck? And then I see a tweet where you get quotes from Kevin Byard about how he's looking forward to the challenge. And you write a story and you publish a story. So I love it when a great writer puts out a great story about a topic we just talked about and then decides to come on the show with us. How are you, Teron?
Well, I tell you what, I'm well, and I appreciate that. I will definitely have to send you a check for those kind words.
So let's get started then with exactly what this Colts offense does with its tight ends. It may look like 11 personnel, but they may have three tight ends on the field. Jayon Brown is capable. I think Malcolm Butler might be capable. Kevin Byard is capable. What is the best approach to covering all these tight ends in this quick passing attack that Andrew Luck is deploying right now?
Yeah, I think they're going to play a mixture of zone and man. You know, and talking to Byard, he definitely said that that's something that he's looking forward to matching up against him in man defense. And when you look at this tight end package, I mean, they're able to run four verticals, you know, out of a 13 personnel set because of the tight ends that they have. You know, as it says in the article, Byard gave Ebron credit for being able to run routes like a receiver. So you could do different things as far as walking him out and allowing him to get vertical. You know, you could also mix it up, do some of those divide concepts where he's running the post, and you could have a guy like Jack Doyle, who's really good at working the middle of the field, run that dig route underneath and just put the safeties in a bind. So I think you gotta use a mixture, you know, especially when you're going against a quarterback like Andrew Luck. You have to mix it up. You can't just go man all game. But I think they match up well when they go man because, you know, you mentioned Jayon Brown. I think Rashawn Evans is another guy that could be a factor in the cover game. And obviously the safeties, Kenny Vaccaro, you know, who's playing really good football, not in the box score, but in actually watching the game, he's playing really good football, and obviously Byard.
Now, Teron, this Indianapolis defense, obviously – they've struggled for the last couple of years. You know, Ballard has done a good job at retooling that offensive line so Andrew Luck can stand upright and he doesn't get touched, which they're doing a phenomenal job in the last three games. But this team do have a few playmakers on the defensive side of the ball.
Oh, yeah.
How good or how bad is this Indianapolis defense? Does the numbers match what you're seeing on the field?
Well, I think when you look at the defense, it all starts with Darius Leonard. And, you know, I got to shout out a fellow HBCU football player. And he's just coming here, and he's done an outstanding job. So his speed to the ball, you know, that masks a lot of things up front. These guys struggle to get to the quarterback. So that's a good thing for Mariota, you know, in the offense. Then you look in the back end, Malik Hooker's kind of banged up. Nate Harrison, I text back and forth with him. He's a Temple guy, so, you know, we have Philly ties, and he's banged up as well with the ankles. So I think there's going to be opportunities. Pierre Desir is going to step up, but there's going to be opportunities for this passing game to really take off because, you know, you have limitations in coverage and you have an inability to get to the quarterback, you know. So essentially it should, now just looking on paper, it should end up being almost like 7-on-7 for Mariota in the passing game because there is no pass rush and the guys can't cover well. So I expect to see a big game out of them, but you know, Darius Leonard, it could take just you know, one forced fumble or one of those type of plays where it could change the course of the game.
Yeah, the young fellow from South Carolina State's making a lot of impact plays. Four sacks, three forced fumbles on the season, leading the entire NFL in tackles. And we talked about him earlier because I don't think many people around the country know about him, Teron. And we were talking about what the offensive strategy should be. We've seen the entire playbook, And we've seen Matt LaFleur have to get creative because Bill Belichick has got such a great defensive mind. And then, of course, when you go and you look at the Chargers defense, they're pretty solid. And the Cowboys defense, at least the better unit of the two when you play the Cowboys. So the entire playbook's been open. They've been very creative and innovative and using a lot of different things. Is this one of those games where they can outthink themselves if they're not careful where it needs? I'm not saying dumb it down and be vanilla, but just simply attack the matchups where the matchups present themselves.
Yeah, I think this is one of those games where you really just, like you said, you attack the matchups. You know, I think Jonnu Smith going against these linebackers, you know, Najee Good, Sky Moore, Walker, I think that's an advantage. I think just like last week, they had the advantage as far as going to Deion Lewis out of the backfield. They didn't do it as much as I thought they would, but I think that's an advantage also. I mean, there's advantages all over. You know, the Colts like to run a lot of zone, so who's their zone buster? Tajae Sharpe. Running those quick in-breaking routes, you know, out of the slot position. There are different opportunities for them to take advantage of, and I think, you know, this is a week where if they call the right game, you know, they can't go wrong because all of their options should be there for them.
Now, looking at the offense and what they've been able to do for the last couple of weeks, do you think because of the lack of stoutness up front for the Indianapolis coach, do you think we'll see a little bit more of Derrick Henry and his downhill running type and using him as a bruising back in a situation like this?
I tell you what, if they jump to an early lead, that's exactly what I think, you know, they'll see. I did a report card, a midseason report card on Mike Vrabel. And one of the things that I said they need to incorporate is Derrick Henry a little more in the running game. And, you know, some fans, you know, said, oh, well, you know, Deion Lewis is doing good, et cetera, et cetera. But this is the time where you start preparing yourself for that stretch run down the towards the end of the season and possibly a playoff run. And what do you need to do in order to win late in the year, especially when the weather starts getting a little different? You need to be able to be pack and play. And how do you be pack and play? You need that strong running game, you know, that running game that just wears on teams. And then you also need a strong defense. So I definitely think this could be the start of them really incorporating Derrick Henry and him using him as a hammer if they get an early lead and just, you know, just wear away the Colts, you know, in their home stadium. I think that would be a good thing for them to be able to do. So I definitely think Wildcat, I think, you know, different power runs and those type of things with Henry is something to expect this week.
Teron Davenport joining us here, of course, from ESPN covering the Tennessee Titans. And Teron, one of the things I can't figure out from a psychological standpoint is Andrew Luck has dominated this team, certainly over the past. The Titans sort of broke that mold last year with a couple of wins, but it wasn't against Andrew Luck. There's two new coaches for both sides of this equation. Both teams have a new coaching staff, but there are still a lot of players that have been involved in this on both sides. Is that a factor at all, or is that all out the window because of the newness of the both teams?
Well, I think really once they start playing, that's out of the window. It's something that I'm sure, you know, is going to be on their minds the week leading up, you know, to the game. In fact, Vrabel said that it's something that he told numerous players. Wesley Woodyard told me that, you know, Vrabel brought it up, the 9-0 record. So it's something they're taking note of. But, I mean, I don't think it's something that will be a factor, so to speak, whereas, you know, they're down 7-0 is, oh, my God, we could be, you know, now 0-10 against. I don't think that's the case. Jarrell Casey had an interesting comment earlier this week. He has said that he's 0-2 against, Andrew Luck, even dating back to the college days, you know, USC versus Stanford.
Yeah.
And he said he's normally someone that likes to talk mess, but there's nothing he could really say right now because he is 0-11. You know, after adding college. But I think once everything gets started, that stuff is out the window. Even on the Colts side, Frank Reich said that he's not even thinking about that. You know, it has no relevance to him. So I would say, long story short, no would be the answer to that one.
Yeah, it's crazy how one team seems to have such a psychological advantage over another. And I'm pretty sure they're not talking much about it, but I know that at the beginning of the meeting, Vrabel put that stat up there. Like, listen, they've beaten us, Andrew Luck has beaten us the last 10 times we've played them. Not necessarily Indianapolis has beaten us, but Andrew Luck, we got to find a way to rattle this young man, to get in his face. Because for some strange reason, even when Indianapolis was horrible, the Titans still wasn't able to beat Andrew Luck. And that's just one of those stats that's just mind-boggling, because you just don't understand it.
Yeah, sometimes you have those teams within your division. I remember when I used to cover the 49ers, and one of the teams that was never good but always played them well was Jeff Fisher's Rams teams. And it just, some teams just have your number.
Teron Davenport, ESPN. You got a pick for us, man, or is that just not part of your shtick this week?
Man, you got to read the ESPN.com article. No, I'm kidding.
I did.
I picked the Titans. I don't think, they lose this game. I think they match up well in all facets. And this guard, Quentin Nelson, he's apparently the best guard prospect ever. He's playing well. But, that highlight that they showed of him hitting Brian Church last week was something that, why don't you just try to make the guy miss? So I thought it was kind of funny they just stood there and let Nelson run him over. But, hey, we'll see how he could do this week. And it's going to be interesting. But I think the Titans will win.
Yeah, I mean, Nelson's a great player. But, like, let's be honest, Jarrell Casey's a slightly different build and makeup body type than Barry Church. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on the interior of that offensive line. That guard center triangle is pretty solid right now for the Colts, but the Titans feel pretty good about what they got. Teron, always a pleasure, man. Enjoy having you on each and every week. We do appreciate it. Great stuff. Check him out, of course, ESPN.com. All the big previews for the Titans game coming up. All the best reaction as well. Get to him on all the social media places as well. Thanks a lot, Teron. We appreciate it, man.
For sure. I appreciate it. You guys take care. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Yep. All right, man. Teron Davenport there from ESPN. And, yeah, interesting story. Go check it out about the specifics of exactly what their plan is to cover all these weird packages and personnel for the Colts. It should be interesting to watch. For some reason, D-Mace, and we'll get to this when we come back, the whole history of this rivalry thing, I just can't get it out of my head. There's, like, every matchup says the Titans offense should have a big day.
Yeah.
But it's the Colts. And I just can't get it out of my head.
We've seen this before.
Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit more, because I do think we're in for one guaranteed thing on Sunday between these two teams. And we'll explain a little bit more about that when we come back right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.